There's two parts to the message, and part of it's the first part's to illustrate the second part. But I want you to, in just a moment, there's another video that I want you to watch, and it just was so appropriate. The importance of this video is important enough for me to give it 10 minutes of my preaching time. I want you to see this. We're living in a generation in America, we are a generation of Americans, who've lost our gratitude in many ways. There was a generation, two generations ago, they were called the greatest generation. And over 400,000 of them died in World War II. That's almost the population of our entire city that didn't come home from Europe or the Philippines or other places, Egypt, Asia. We need to understand the sacrifice. And if we understand the sacrifice, we're going to be grateful. And that's going to lead us on to the rest of the message this morning. Brother Reed had an idea about what we could do for Veterans Day, and I said, no, I don't want to get involved in that. But as I was getting ready for it, I just completely changed my mind, and Brother Reed, it was a great idea. Why is it that the most successful people in our country can disrespect our flag in such huge ways and still be thought of as heroes? It doesn't have anything to do with race or ethnicity or nationality. It has to do with we're American. We're American. I want you to hear the history and the reason, the story behind the Star-Spangled Banner this morning. I'm using that as an illustration to help us with the rest of the message. So if you'd play that video.
Was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. He said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. And he said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. The flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he'd found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? or the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
The title of the message this morning is this: Love is Measured by Sacrifice. And it'll not be a long message this morning because I've already used a long illustration. Love is measured by sacrifice. I hope the next time you hear the Star-Spangled Banner, it means something different to you. How about that quote from George Washington? I'd rather live on... I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. Is that how he said that? How appropriate for today. Love is measured by sacrifice. John chapter 15, verse 13. If you turn there just for a moment. I've preached this verse over many Veterans Days, but it just is so appropriate. John chapter 15, verse number 13. You may have this verse memorized, but we're going to read it together this morning. And I want you to think about this statement: Love is measured by sacrifice. I'll come back to that and I'll explain it in just a minute. John 15, 13, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." There is no greater love than giving the most that you have so that somebody can live. If we were to read the rest of what we call the Star-Spangled Banner or our national anthem, "On the shore dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes, what is that which the breeze or the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory reflected, now shines in the stream. 'Tis a star-spangled banner. Oh, long may it wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, thus be it ever. When free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto: In God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." Love is measured by sacrifice, just like distance is measured in miles. Some of you measure in meters. You'll catch on. Volume is measured in gallons. I still haven't figured out how to convert all this over to metric, so I'm sticking with English. Weight is measured in pounds. Love is measured in sacrifice. "Greater love hath no man than this." How much love? "That a man lay down his life for his friends." The word "greater" talks about a volume or about an amount. How much love does a person have? Well, the greatest amount is when you lay down your life for someone. I love John 3:16 for this cause. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." How much did God love you? So much that He gave His only begotten Son. Love is measured by sacrifice. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says it this way: "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I'll explain that word here in just a minute. But herein is love. What is love? Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And how much did He love us? So much that He sent His Son to be the payment for your sins. But propitiation means more than just payment. It means that He died on the cross and earned God's favor for you. We are all sinners. We are lost in our sin, and we are doomed to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. But God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation, the payment for your sin, the one who would bring God's favor to you. When Jesus died on the cross, He satisfied God's wrath against sin and brought you into God's favor. That is what propitiation means. You simply need to accept Jesus as the complete payment for your sins. How much does God love you? Well, he loves you so much that he gave his life for his friends, that is you. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son and that he died on the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's you. How much does God love you? Well, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is giving of yourself with no thought of receiving anything in return. I don't remember the exact quote, and I thought about quoting it, and I thought about not quoting it, and I don't remember who said it. But they talked about on the battlefield, and after the service, one of you can remind me who this was, but he said, uncommon valor was common. Love is giving of yourself with no thought of receiving anything in return. As I was working on videos, I watched several of Ronald Reagan's speeches that he gave. One of the speeches that he gave was on the shore of Normandy, France, where so many of our soldiers went and died within moments of entering that shore. Love is giving of yourself with no thought of receiving anything in return. Over 400,000 soldiers died in World War II. Over 58,000 soldiers died in Vietnam. And that's just two of them. Love is giving of yourself with no thought of receiving anything in return. We saw the flag waving, and what a symbol that is. It's more than just cloth and it's more than just colors. It represents so much more. It's not just our nation. It represents the sacrifice, the blood of men and women who have died for our freedom, died to protect us. Many of them died fighting against a way of life, a thought, a religion called communism. Communism's still alive in our world, and there are folks who still are fighting against that. But the flag is a representation of our freedom. It's a representation of those who died. The Star-Spangled Banner, which was that particular flag at the time, now the place of that flag has been taken by our flag. That flag is a flag with 48 states on it. There's 48 stars. You can tell they're in a square pattern. Now the flag has 50 stars on it. The flag has grown over time, but it has remained a symbol of those who have loved us enough, loved freedom enough, loved their families enough, loved their country enough, loved the potential of a future where their children and grandchildren could live in freedom. They loved it enough that they were willing to die. That's what that flag represents. Oh, it means so much more than just something pretty that we look at, something that we fly on Veterans Day or 4th of July. It represents the sacrifice of the people that died so that we could have that flag. There's another symbol that I want you to think about this morning. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Yes, the cross is also just a symbol, but what does it represent? The cross represents the ultimate love, a love of an amazing amount of sacrifice when our Savior came to this world and willingly went to the cross to pay for our sins. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it. To bear the cross to dark Calvary. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see, for 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear, and He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. We've heard about the veterans of Vietnam this morning. How when they came home, people just spat in their faces. Their sacrifice was rejected. People mocked them and made fun of them. They were called names. They were despised. But this morning, how have you treated the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? He loved you more than any other person ever will. Jesus Christ sacrificed more than any other person ever can. He left heaven to live in this sinful world for you. He was born into the body of a man so that he could face every temptation that you will ever face. He was unjustly punished for you. He was whipped and beaten for you. He willingly laid down on the cross and endured the nailing of his hands and his feet to that rugged tree, and he did it for you. Jesus died for you. How have you treated him? How have you treated his sacrifice? Have you rejected his sacrifice? Do you mock his name? Do you curse and swear using the precious name of Jesus Christ? Listen, he died for you because he loves you. He died for you so that you can have everlasting life. Aren't you grateful this morning for those veterans? They sacrificed. And sometimes we get the idea that only the ones that died sacrificed. Let me tell you, every single one of them sacrifices. The time they leave their family, the time they spend away, the danger they put themselves in. Listen, they sacrifice. And aren't you thankful this morning? Stop and think this morning. Aren't you thankful that they sacrificed so much so that you could have freedom this morning? You can get up this morning in a free country. You can come to church and you can even have a Bible. Or you can choose not to. You can choose to stay away from church. Go to the football game. Sleep in. Clean the yard. You can do that too if you want to. And aren't we thankful that we have some folks that paid the price so that we could have that freedom? So whenever you see one of them, what are you going to say? When you see a veteran, what are you going to say? You're going to say thank you, or you're going to spit in their face? Are you going to say thank you for serving? Thank you for your sacrifice. Are you going to, get this, accept their sacrifice for you, or are you going to reject it? I think most of us will say, I accept it. I'll accept that sacrifice and I'll thank them for that sacrifice. Now, Jesus died on the cross for you. He went to hell for you. He paid your sins for you. What are you going to do with his sacrifice? Are you going to spit in his face? Are you going to reject his sacrifice? Listen to this. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He was beaten for you. And he offers you the free gift of eternal life. Are you going to just reject that after all he did for you? Love is measured in sacrifice. He gave the ultimate sacrifice because he loves you more than anybody else ever will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen to this. That whosoever believeth in him, that's anybody, that's you, anybody that would believe in him, that would trust him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am so thankful that I get to have a life of freedom in this country. Wouldn't you like to have an eternal life of freedom because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? The Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Anybody. For whosoever. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter what side of town or what side of the tracks you came from. It doesn't matter who your mom is or your dad is or how good or how bad you are. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wouldn't you like to do that right now? Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? And if you'd like to do that right now, I'd like to ask you to raise your hand real high where you are. And if you'd say, I'm tired of rejecting the greatest sacrifice that has ever been given, Jesus dying on the cross. I am going to stop rejecting him this morning, and I am going to accept his free gift of eternal life. Raise your hand real high if that's you. You say, that's me. I'm done rejecting him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this morning, I want that to be me. This morning, I want to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. This morning, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize there is a punishment for sin, that is to die and go to hell. But this morning, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want forgiveness. I want eternal life. I want freedom from sin. If that's you, would you raise your hand real high? I want to pray with you. Anybody this morning? Don't put this off. Stop rejecting Jesus. Stop rejecting the greatest love that has ever been shown to you. And he proved it with his sacrifice. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for eternal life. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that has not yet trusted you as their Savior, I pray that this morning they would make that decision to trust you. They would stop rejecting you and they would accept your free gift of eternal life.